Okay, so first off, apologies for not podcasting last week. We were trying to be fairly consistent, I suppose. But, you know, stuff happens. I had a couple of weekends that were not available. So, what are you going to do? And also, I'm doing summer school and a part-time job. So, those are things.
It's amazing that you can make it here at all. That's what we're saying.
Make it here in my bedroom every week.
Right.
I literally have nothing to start on. What have you been doing the last 2 weeks?
Last 2 weeks. Just work. It's just, it's bad.
I was asking, I was wondering, how frequently do you actually go? Do you do like 4 days out of the week?
Yeah, it's Tuesday through Friday. I used to do 5 days a week, but this time I decided to take Mondays off.
Oh.
And it's really nice.
Yeah, Mondays off are awesome. Either Mondays or Fridays off are almost always awesome.
Yeah, I had the choice of either Monday or Friday, and I figured I would rather have Monday off, because Monday is horrible, and you want to experience Friday, and it's payday, so...
Oh, yeah, that's pretty nice, actually. Yeah, that's good. The way that... I got lucky, because the way that Harold Washington does summer school, just specifically for the statistics class I'm in, is I go in Monday, but then I'm off Tuesday, and then I do a Wednesday-Thursday.
Hmm.
Which, really, if I could ask for anything, that's the best of both worlds. You go in Monday, and you're like, fuck, I'm so tired, and then you like you go, you can sleep in Tuesday, you can recoup, and then you do a Wednesday-Thursday, and you got Friday off. So that's pretty awesome.
That's not bad, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then any times where I'm not doing school, I sometimes have work. I know, I've been taking off here and there, some for completely legitimate reasons, such as I'm playing a Pokemon tabletop game right now, and I need to be there, and the Blackhawks are in the finals right now, so I adjust my times around those games. Which they are very close to. They need to win one more game out of the next two, and they will have won all of the sports.
Okay,
Big sports cup, and then they go around the rink and they hold it above their head and they kiss it, and
And then this is my understanding, at least of sports, is that they then melt the rink, and pour the contents of the rink into the cup, and they all have to drink it.
yeah.
And if they don't finish it all, then it's like six more weeks of summer or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like an Avatar State thing too. They have to drink all of the ice, and then and they will have gotten all of the powers of the previous Stanley Cup winners.
Right. Okay.
So they will be better for it. And if they don't, then that's it. The chain is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have any good hockey players anymore.
Wow. Okay.
Hello and welcome to First Person Podcast Simulator. My name is Zach, and joining me is
Mike.
And some game stuff happened, but I don't know. We just haven't talked in a while, so I am not. And on top of that, I don't know. I haven't been able to find like too much game stuff that I've been super. I mean, besides the obvious like Xbox 180 stuff.
Of course, yeah. I mean, we're just coming off E3, so it's like everybody just wants to not.
Right. Yeah. Everyone just wants to like kick back, relax, and not look at their computer screens for a little while.
And we've got what is it, Gamescom coming up? Or is it GDC?
One of those
two. I think it's Gamescom.
Yeah, I forget when GDC happens, but I feel like that already happened this year, didn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay.
Gamescom it is.
So is that like Germany's E3?
Yes.
Pretty much?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's probably on par.
I hear it's like really fucking huge, too. Like,
yeah.
A lot of money gets poured into it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Crazy E3 amounts of money. I wonder if Nintendo's going to do a conference there. Do they have big conferences, or is that just an E3 thing?
You know what? I think that might be an E3 thing, because I never really... Yeah. I think I hear of a lot more smaller companies presenting their stuff. I'm not sure how many other like formal like E3-ish conferences there are at Gamescom. But then again, I'm not sure how much I paid attention to it in the last few years. So
yeah, I would think it's just E3, because there's really only so many... $100 million conferences you could piss away in the year, so E3's got to be it.
Yeah, we would hope. So what have you been up to? What have you been playing? I mean, besides like work and dumb shit.
Yeah, so in my free time I've been getting into the Humble Bundle I just bought a couple weeks ago.
Oh, and you've been playing Hotline Miami.
Yes. Oh, Hotline Miami.
Explain it
so
to me.
Good.
I feel
so
like
good. It's Do you know the premise of it, or
I think I do. I'm pretty like I know that you're killing like gang bosses, aren't you?
That's pretty much it. You just go around killing people.
Okay.
And there's a really, it's a pretty cryptic story. It's very thin. It gives way to the gameplay, so you can just kind of play the game. And if you want to get into the story, you can pay attention to that. But
right,
There's not a whole lot to it. It's like you wake up every day and you get a call and you go kill a bunch of people.
All right, but I hear that the way that you kill a bunch of people, the way that they've done the combat is supposed to be really, really good.
It's so much fun, and it's like it's intense every single time.
That's what I've heard
like,
too.
They're all basically the same in that there are rooms with people that you need to kill that can mm-hmm. kill you. But it's just the way that the level design is, and new things are introduced, and it's just done so well. It's really, I'm still really into it.
You know, between now and next week, I'm going to go ahead and play it too, even though I'm mm-hmm. trying to focus on like Bioshock and Anodyne. But I recently kind of got stuck in Anodyne, which I hate when that happens in, like, Zelda-esque games, because I feel mm-hmm. like a total chump looking up a guide or a walkthrough.
I know, I hate doing that.
But, like, I'm so glad that that's there as a resource, though, because mm-hmm. otherwise you wouldn't play that game. Like, that was one of the most frustrating things for me.
Think about pre-internet times.
That's exactly what I'm thinking about too. And like as a little kid, I would pour hours and hours into trying to figure out like what I was supposed to do, but mm-hmm. eventually just not like I would stop playing the game. I mean, I gave up after a couple of hours, understandably, I think.
I have kind of a cool story about that.
Go on.
I remember when I was a kid playing Super Mario World on our SNES.
Okay.
We went to this library once. I don't remember if it was our library or like a few towns over. And found a book on Super Mario World that was basically a walkthrough.
Oh,
like
cool.
Like, a printed, published book. And it was really cool to find it and, like, read through how to beat all the levels. But looking back on it now, it's really strange to think that there's, like, that physical media kind of walkthrough.
Would you say that this is kind of before, like, game guides really got popular?
It must have been, yeah, because that's, yeah. They would have been there for that, but somebody, I just can't imagine somebody publishing a book, like, because there's some hoops you got to jump through to do that. That had to have taken a while.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, then again, games were popular enough to where Nintendo was like, oh yeah, $80 a cartridge for Super Nintendo games at one point. So, I mean, it was obviously booming.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really interesting, though. That's
I wonder
cool.
how much money they made off of that book. And also, I want to buy it.
Was it? Did it look like a formal, like, book?
Yeah. It was just, it was a small hardcover book. Just one solid cover. Solid color on the cover.
Wow.
It was just like this reddish, rusty sort of color. Just a legit book. Like, no sparkles or flashy explosion things.
Well, I don't know if I want it now.
Didn't even have a picture of Mario anywhere in the book. Just said Super Mario World on the side.
That's really interesting. That's funny.
Yeah. Describing it, I'm kind of questioning whether or not I imagined this. It sounds like some myth kind of, oh, I gotta find it now.
It's like, oh no, wait, I remember. Actually, I made that guide.
No, wait, I dreamed that. No, it was totally real. Because I wouldn't have passed Butterbridge without that.
Butterbridge. All the names of the regions in that game are pretty wacky and funny.
Oh, yeah. Makes me hungry.
What's the...
Cheese Bridge, Soda Lake.
What's the name of the forest that you can, like, get trapped in? If you don't, like, take a specific way out of it, you
oh,
can...
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Forest of Illusion.
Okay. Isn't there something like, chocolate-based around there?
Yeah, Chocolate Island?
Okay.
That's after the Forest of Illusion. God, I still know that world so well.
Well, I mean, I totally understand. Like, when you play a game enough, you know it like the back of your hand, and I know mm-hmm. that there are... Not that I can name any off the top of my head right now, but I know that there are games I've played a couple of times through, and I'm like, oh yeah, you just have to do this, this, and the thing, and then you go do that, and it's mm-hmm. like, oh, that's very specific, Zach.
Oh, yeah.
Please leave my house now.
Oh, you've gotten that too, okay.
Yep. Yeah. I will definitely play Hotline Miami between now and next week because I totally want to talk about it. Also, I really want to play it. It was funny, like, you talking about it makes me think, I don't know if all vegetarians do this, but I know, like, you from experience, I know that you really just don't dig meat. Like, that is not really mm-hmm. your thing. I have a friend, Brian, who is more vegetarian for the health reasons. Mm-hmm. And his one, like, flaw, his one guilty pleasure is pepperoni pizza. So every, like, for a while when I was going over to his house, I would stop over at this, like, shop where they sell, like, these big, like, bricks of pizza for, like, $3. It was a super awesome deal. And every time I would come over with a pizza, he'd just be like, if you don't mind, like, can't you just smell your pizza? And that's, he would do that all the time. And it's like, it was so funny because he's the nicest guy. I'm like, dude, sure, go ahead. And that's what I feel like. I am the vegetarian to the Hotline Miami pepperoni right now.
Wow. Okay. That was a really involved way of saying you want to play Hotline Miami.
I cannot stress it enough.
But yeah, that's the thing about being a vegetarian for health reasons, is like, maybe you still kind of like meat, and so you do that, but I don't know. I haven't had that, like, one thing that I've been like, oh man, I really miss that, and I have it every once in a while.
That's really good, though.
It's kind of crazy, yeah.
No, I mean, meat's not that great for you, I mean, in general. I totally understand this, but I do eat. I'm not at the point where I can spend the kind of money I want to on, like, fish, which is still technically meat. But, like, I feel like the progression should be, like, eating just, like, regular, like, meat stuff. And then, like, maybe you go to fish. And maybe then you, like, go full vegetarian. I don't think I could go full vegetarian. But I could totally just eat the shit out of some fish, like, all the time. I mean, that's what, like, a quarter of our freezer is right now. It's, like, these, like, tilapia fillet things from Costco and these salmon burgers and these, like, regular, like, hunks of frozen salmon that we eat sometimes. I think Mika said that was pescatarian.
Oh, pescatarian, yeah.
Pescatarian.
Where the only meat you eat is fish, yeah.
Yeah. I see a future in which I could do that, maybe dabbling in regular meat every once in a while, because, like, fish is just so good. It's really, really awesome.
I don't know that I've ever had fish.
What?
Yeah. I think I used to eat it as, like, when I was really little, and I just don't remember it.
It's really awesome. It's, like, it's meat light.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways. Oh, speaking of Hotline Miami, though, I guess there was an announcement for Hotline Miami 2 sometime in the next week, like, around
Perfect
E3.
Segue.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. What's it called? Wrong Number or something?
Yeah, so, like, Hotline Miami 2 : Wrong Number or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, so I get the hotline part of Hotline Miami now.
Ho-ho! Phones!
Yeah. Good times. Oh, the 80s. Hotlines.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, hotlines are...
Yeah, it takes place in the 80s.
I'm excited.
Like,
how's the music in the game, too? I heard it's really
good. Oh, man. It's so great. I've only played... Let's open Steam. Okay, I've played 2 hours, apparently, but wow, 2 hours, really? Okay. I've only played 2 hours of it, but, like, already, when I go into a level and a certain track is playing, I'm like, yes, this is my favorite one.
This is my jam, kill a bunch of guys.
Yeah. But I don't feel like I've played it that much, that I should have a favorite track, but I do. That's how good it is.
Hey, whatever, that's fine.
Oh. And it's really cool that, like, you know, they're like, you wear a mask when you murder all these people. All
right,
so there are different masks that get unlocked, and there are different animal heads, and they actually give you different abilities.
Oh my god, everything about this game is just screaming me right now.
It's great, it's
so good. I love
animal
masks.
Right? I think my favorite is the one that makes doors lethal, so you can just, like, walk into a room when someone's walking past a door and they're dead.
Oh my god.
It's brilliant. It's so
good. Okay, we have to stop talking about this. I'm, like, getting the sweats.
Okay.
back to the Hotline Miami 2 thing, though, there was also an announcement for Fez 2, which I only thought was interesting because, I mean, how, besides, like, maybe the runner games, where those are more, like, kind of sequential, how often do you really see indie developers being like, yeah, I want to go back to, like, the game that I made and make a second one? Like, usually it doesn't seem like indies are, like, super, super big on sequels to me.
I know, I can't really think of a whole lot of sequel indies other than Runner, which was also pretty recent, I think.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that was only a couple months ago.
But yeah, like, you wouldn't think to hear of a Super Meat Boy 2.
No, right, which, I mean, they outright said, like, there won't be a Super Meat Boy 2. Like, we already made the game that we wanted to make, we're gonna move on. And that's kind of how, That's kind of how Edmund McMillan works, too. Like, he just doesn't really do sequels to his games. Mm-hmm.
What was it? Trine had a sequel.
Oh, right.
That
is
that indie.
That's an indie game, isn't it? I feel like an idiot because I bought Trine 2 merely out of your like recommendation of it. I have no idea what happened in Trine 1 or like how this game even works yet. I haven't touched it. I just know I should play it because it's probably good.
I actually really prefer the first Trine to the second one.
Oh, no.
Maybe that's because I played the second one on my laptop, and it's really, like, high-res and beautiful, and...
Oh, okay.
I think I just have to replay it on my PC now. I don't know.
How long is it? Does it take?
I was in Trine 2 for 12 hours, but I've gone back and replayed some stuff, so...
Okay.
Maybe 10.
Gotcha.
On the first Trine, I've played 6 hours, but I've done a lot of replays in there. That's a really short game.
Okay. Well, I mean, if it's cheap enough. Trine doesn't seem, like, super popular, so it's probably pretty cheap.
Yeah, I think it should be.
Okay. Well, maybe I will go back and buy that. Oh, God, speaking of buying shit, I feel like such a slave to Steam sometimes. I think there were two games in the last week that I bought, and I'm trying to remember what they were. Oh, I got FTL from the good old game sale.
Nice.
That was going on. I think that I got that for... The starting price was $2.50, and it was like, oh, add what do you want? I'm like, I will add $1 to this. I totally pay $3.50 for this because you're giving me the option, and you guys are cool.
Damn.
So I have that, and I do not remember the other game that I got.
They were just offering something for free.
That was... What is that game?
Was it Torchlight?
Yes. Yes, it was.
Okay. Was it Torchlight or Torchlight 2?
It was Torchlight. It was the first one, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Damn.
Yeah. Which, I've played the Torchlight games, and I feel, I don't know, I'm so dumb, because I feel like when something's offered to me at a very reduced price, I'm like, yes, I'm on that. Like, I would like that. It's a game I've been looking forward to, like, acquiring. But when it's something that is completely for free that I've played, and, like it's not a bad game. I have a vague interest in it. I go into, like, this anti-consumer storm. I'm like, well, I don't really need that. Like, I don't need that taking up more room on my Steam list.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. The way I work with digital games is dumb sometimes.
I know. I think it's like that with all digital media, though. We think about it differently than physical media for some reason. Like, when I think we'd be more inclined to buy... Let me ask you the question. Do you think you'd be more inclined to buy it if it were a physical thing? Like, same price and everything, but physical copy.
Of, like, FTL or something like that?
Yeah, anything.
You know what? I don't know. I'm really not sure because along with the regular... If it was, like, the exact same price, like, with tax and everything, like, that's a big thing, too. Like, if it wouldn't be, like, $3.50. It would be $3.50 and some dollars, so probably average out to be, like, maybe $4.50, which, it, like, doesn't seem like a really big change in price, but it's different. And also, I don't know. There's something different about, like, physically buying something as well. It's, I don't know, it feels like a completely different process where if...
I know.
Like, almost there's, like, a little bit more guilt to it, too. If you know you probably, like, maybe shouldn't be spending the money, or you already have, like, a bunch of games that you're stockpiling.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different, because you can just discreetly, like, go on, it's like, oh, like, just type in a credit card real quick, like, hit done, like, make sure that it's, like, linked to your Steam account, and then close it out, and it's gone. It's, like, in your backlog, and you don't have any, like, physical reminders that you spent money on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's totally true, but I don't know, because I've been thinking about, I've been really getting into comics lately, and buying a lot of those, and I'm much more inclined to, I don't know if it's because of the experience of going to the comic shop and seeing the racks and everything, but I'm much more inclined to buy physical copies of the comics than go into, like, the Marvel or DC apps and buy them digitally.
Oh, no, I totally understand that. I think that's a bit different... from games, because, like, regardless of how you're buying it, you're still experiencing it the same way.
Right, right.
But I totally know what you mean. I prefer physical copies of things, I really do, but in, like, situations where, I mean, indie developers obviously aren't making, like, physical copies of things, and if they're, like, super limited editions that cost twice as much as the regular one, which come with a lot of cool stuff, so it's justified, but it is a bit pricier. In those situations, I can't really, you know, we can't really do anything, but I do enjoy physical games a lot. Like, I enjoy, like, fingering through manuals and stuff and looking at the art on, like, the backs and stuff and reading the, like, quick little description of the game and looking at the shots of the game on the back and stuff. I really dig that.
There are aspects to both that I like, digital games and physical games. I like what you said about holding the thing and seeing the art and everything. But mm-hmm. digital games, I like that it can just, you know, be on my computer already, or it doesn't have to take up any space in my room with the box.
Right.
And it's just, it's so much faster.
Mm-hmm. And like with the comics like thing too, there's, you're experiencing it in more ways than just, you know, actually looking at it. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's a different thing, obviously, when you're looking at the page and looking at, like, maybe a Retina display or something on a tablet or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's also, like, fingering through the pages and stuff and seeing the different colors, you know, not digitally, I think is very interesting. And even, like, something is, like, simple down to, like, the smell of a comic book.
Oh, definitely.
It's totally different, I would feel, even though I'm not super experienced in, like, you know, buying comics and stuff.
Mm-hmm. They do smell wonderful, though. But it's just weird, because, like, I've been thinking about that lately, because my sister has always been this great champion of physical books and stuff, because she loves books, and she was an English major and everything. And I was always like, that's not necessary, let's just live in the future already and have everything be digital, there's no difference. But now that I'm, like, actually buying these things, and the more I think about it, I actually really like physical books and physical comics
So you're experiencing what she experienced before, physical books through comics.
Yeah, I think so.
That's pretty cool.
And I'm actually buying, like, books now, too.
Oh, cool. I should do that. Maybe in a paycheck or two, I really want to start buying the Adventure Time comics.
Oh, man.
Really bad.
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should check those out.
I read one of them that my friend Jim happened to buy, who's an artist. He's the guy who did I tell you about his, like, Seinfeld t-shirt Kickstarter thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the guy who did that, so he is a big fan of Adventure Time, so he bought one of the comics, and I read them, and they did a really good job. Like, the scripts are really good, and nice. It does read like dialogue from the show, and since you already know how the characters, like, inflections are and stuff, mm-hmm. it they're just very well done, pretty much.
That's great. And regular show, too, has a comic.
Oh, yeah, they do, which I recently started watching. That's, like, my new, how my day goes is, my commute's, like, maybe about 40 minutes-ish. It all depends on how the L's running. Sometimes they have delays, and sometimes there's too many people fucking packing onto it in the mornings. But give or take, maybe 40, 45 minutes. But sometimes what will happen is I'll go to school, I will come back home, but then I have to leave, like, for work in, like, an hour or two. So that's my time to, like, hang out, relax, make something for lunch. And regular show, it has become, like, my middle-of-the-day cartoon, like, fix.
Nice.
So I'll watch a quick episode of that, which is nice because those are broken up into, it kind of like how Adventure Time does it, where it's not exactly like 22 minutes or something. It's, like, two 11 or 12-minute episodes. So that's really nice.
Yeah. It's a good show.
Yeah. Yeah, regular show is very funny. I didn't realize how, like, absolutely nuts they were initially. Because, I mean, what frequently happens with a lot of shows, especially cartoons, is they'll, like, start off and they'll, like, do, like, some quirky stuff. And then that builds gradually as, like, seasons go on. And that's just, depending on what shows you're watching, that's just a thing that happens. And so, like, the real, like, crazy balls-to-the-wall stuff happens in, like, season 5 or 6. But no, like, regular show doesn't pull any punches. Like, within the second episode, they're battling, like, an arcade demon that is a destroyer of worlds.
Yeah.
So that's great.
And the hot dogs that come alive and eat them.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh,
I'm very, very early on into season 1.
I thought you had already watched that.
No, I'd watched bits and pieces of regular show. I knew I liked regular show a lot, but I never actually started watching it.
Yeah, because you recommended it to me.
Oh, that's funny.
Weird.
I watched 2 episodes of this thing, so you should too.
And then I watched all of it and assumed you had already seen it.
No. Oh, but I am making my way in Adventure Time. We are very nearly caught up. We're, like, I think it was maybe, like, episode 16 of the newest season.
Okay,
so we're actually
ahead of me then.
Oh yeah. Well, like, what are you on?
I'm in season 5.
Okay.
Where am I at? Where are you at, Adventure Time? Yeah, wait. I don't remember what episode I left off at.
That's okay. But so we're actually to the point where I think we're not 100% caught up, but we're to the point where we're only like 3 or 4 like downloads of an episode away to being caught up. So we might just wait until the season's over. because sometimes...
Yeah, that would make sense.
Torrents of that stuff are kind of hard to find. Like, you have to do the individual episodes. Sometimes the quality is different, and they give you, like, shit.
Mm-hmm. It's annoying to have to get individual episodes rather than just the whole package.
Yeah. And this is... I feel so fucking privileged, too. It's like, oh, man, like, I'm getting this show for free, and, like, oh,
I know, right?
The quality isn't so good, and I can't find this episode.
Sometimes it's only 480p. What's up with that?
Well, hang on HGTV, that kind of looks like garbage.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is a shame, because you should watch Adventure Time at, like, the highest resolution that you can. It's a beautiful show.
It is. It's beautiful.
Yeah, season 5 is really weird, though. Like, it... it's like they're really emphasizing their creative freedom now.
Yeah.
Which I really don't have a problem with. It's just, it is a very... It's not an extremely different direction. It's still the same show, but the themes, mm-hmm. I think, are a little bit more intense than it just being kind of a kid's show. And okay. They still have those, like, standoffs, like, or not stand-up, what am I talking about? Those standalone one-off episodes where, like, some wacky shit happens, and then that's the end.
Yeah.
But, like, it seems like every other episode, there's something, like, pretty kind of intense going on or really weird. Which I am all for.
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed, what was it, the beginning of 4 or the beginning of 3?
Do you know what was going on?
Maybe it was the end of one of those. I think it was the end of...
Was it the end of 4 where Finn was... It was like the alternate universe sort
Yeah,
of thing.
And Jake was in that, like, place with the wishing guy.
Oh my god, that guy was awesome.
That was amazing.
He was really...
I love that.
Yeah, no, that was... I think that was, like, the... I don't think it was the last two episodes of season 4. It was like season 4 going into season 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were really good episodes.
Oh, man. He offers him wishes, and Jake immediately wishes for, like, food.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, wait. You can do this differently.
It's like, you can literally go make a sandwich, like, in my kitchen. You can go make yes. a sandwich instead of wishing for one.
Oh, it was so good.
No, it was extremely good.
Mm.
So do you want to actually get to our list of things to talk about?
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, are we recording any of this?
I forgot. I don't know.
Yeah, so where should we start here?
You can go ahead and talk about your next Deus Ex game.
Right, yeah. So this was a while ago now. I think it was slightly before E3. Eidos Montreal / Squeenix announced...
That's funny. I've literally never heard that before. That's really funny.
I like that. So we had heard, you know, rumors about a new Deus Ex game.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came out with Deus Ex Human Revolution. No, is it Human Revolution The Fall or just The Fall? I don't know. It's called The Fall. And it's a new Deus Ex game, and it is mobile.
It's taking place exclusively in autumn.
Yep, that's exactly what it's about. I mean,
this is where the podcast ends, because that is what happens when you tell a joke that bad.
Yeah. You broke Reaper. No, but it's exclusively on iPad, I think. I don't know if an Android version is in development. I would hope so, because that'd be cool.
Yeah, that seems...
But,
that's an interesting direction to go into. And we heard those rumors before about Square Enix, like, focusing more on mobile stuff too, right?
Right, yeah, so... This is probably part of that.
Yeah, this is an example of what they'll be doing, I guess.
I believe there is still going to be the Deus Ex movie based on Human Revolution called Human Defiance, I think.
Oh, yeah, they're coming out with a movie, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that I hope is going to be really cool.
Don't hold your breath.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, movies have kind of... from the last time that we were, like, actually seeing video game movies, I feel like video games have become... They're not just a novelty anymore, I suppose. Because, like, the most recent one I can think of is,
oh,
like...
No.
They made a Doom movie starring The Rock.
Oh, crap.
There are probably, like, other examples of that. But I heard it was just really bad.
No.
Oh, no. Hold on. I think Skype is cutting out. 2 seconds.
Yeah, you try to get the call back. Okay, so... This is the part of the podcast
Hello?
Where... Yeah, hi.
Oh, Skype totally cut out on my end.
Damn. Yeah, I think my router just went crazy.
Okay, that's fine. It was only
I
for like
lost all kinds of internet.
It was only for like 10 seconds, so that could have totally been worse.
I did shout no.
I just like calling went like talking to Reaper by myself. I was like, oh no, Skype dropped. Hold on, guys, sit tight.
Well, there's two sides to that now.
Oh boy. Editing fun. That'll be fine.
Anyway, God.
I'm sure I'll. Yeah. Video game movies.
Damn it, internet. Right. Yeah. What about?
I think. I don't know. I think Hollywood might be becoming like a little bit more aware of the fact that all video game movies have been absolute garbage before. Mm. Besides, like, I don't know, maybe except for like maybe some of the Final Fantasy like CGI movies or something. I don't know. But hopefully, like, directors and stuff are more aware of, I don't know, how important, like, the game industry is and how critical its peoples are.
And also, like, going back to the cinematic games thing, it's kind of like they don't really need to make a movie of a game anymore because the game kind of is its own movie. It really doesn't seem necessary to make a Deus Ex movie. Not that I wouldn't love to see, like, a Deus Ex-style movie.
Money.
What? This isn't about money. Nothing is ever...
It's about it's about the fans.
Totally.
It's for you. It's about you, Mike.
They just really care so much. Speaking of Squeenix, just gonna keep calling them that.
Go for it.
There's a developer owned by them that has had to like shut down all projects except for Hitman, and they're just going to be like the Hitman arm of Squeenix.
Oh, who is?
And I thought that was
company?
Really sucky.
That is sucky. It's even suckier that I can't remember the name of the fucking company though.
Because it's like just drop all of this whatever awesome stuff you could be working on and make this AAA title. It's already had like 7 games.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's got to be a pretty grim fate. Knowing it's like okay, like you could be working on other things, but like we're just gonna make you the Hitman branch. Like you will not.
Yeah.
Like that's it. Like how that
it's
probably
really
doesn't,
shitty to just be made this one trick pony.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, okay, this is your one IP and go like that's your job for a couple of years now. And
yeah.
That's
not cool.
No, not at all.
And it also doesn't really look good for Square Enix because they're just kind of like flailing saying, okay, you focus on making this one thing that we know will make us a lot of money and we'll reshuffle everything else.
Yeah. Hopefully they get someone.
I'm worried about Square Enix.
Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about this before with their budgeting problems.
Yeah.
About how their projected doesn't really ever meet the realistic goals.
Good.
I can't remember how many Square Enix games I've really ever been super, super, like, big into. But then again, I might be confusing Square Enix with, like, Squaresoft. There's a lot of Square companies.
Okay. That's true, yeah.
So, I don't know.
I think the only two Square Enix games I can think of that I was really big into were Deus Ex, of course, and Supreme Commander 2 was actually published by Square Enix.
That sounds pretty supreme.
I really liked it.
What was it about?
It was a RTS.
Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've only ever played, I think, 2 Hitman games. I played the first one on PC when I was far too young. and that seemed really cool. That seemed like it had promise to it. But then I bought one for the GameCube that was kind of garbage. Mm. Like, much later on. It's like, oh, it was like, I know of Hitman. It's like, I will buy this, and it will be cool. And it was kind of whatever.
That's a shame.
Which, I mean, I guess kind of happens when you do... like, ports over to GameCube sometimes, but...
Yeah, what can you do? Hitman seems like something I might be interested in. It's kind of stealthy, right?
Yeah, yeah, it totally can be. I don't know which ones are the good ones, is the thing. so you might have to be careful with that, but it definitely is one of those stealthy kind of games.
That's what Metacritic's for.
Yeah, it hits me off as kind of like a modern Thief, but I can't really say that because I've never played Thief, so...
No.
But I feel like that's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, aren't they also the ones who own the licensing for that game as well?
I will check.
Checking shit on the internet. Googling stuff, then probably checking Wikipedia.
Yeah, Square Enix. Also actually developed by Eidos Montreal, who does Deus Ex.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, a lot of big names that company's holding on to. It's a shame that they're not...
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we don't see another THQ thing where they have to, like, auction off their IPs.
Oh. I would hate to see that happen to Eidos.
Yeah, I can't imagine, like, being put in that position. Like, just, like, taking all these ideas that you have or that, like, made you so, like, were so profitable to you over the, like, past years and just pretty much, like, giving them to people.
Yeah, just see what they do with this thing you created now.
Yeah, right.
That can't be fun. So, yeah, that's my news about the next Deus Ex game being mobile.
All right.
What else we got? I don't think there was any more E3 stuff, really.
Yeah, I mean, everything that's been talking about has kind of been talked about. It's a little bit late as well, so people have already caught up on their news.
Right.
General feelings, though, is that, like, everyone who is there and everyone who's been keeping up on news is saying that Nintendo's, like, got some cool shit. It just, you gotta give them, like, a year.
Yeah.
Because...
It seemed like, from what I watched at their conference, it seemed like they just kept saying, we don't have anything in that department, but you know what? Give us some more time and we'll make it really great. So either next year is going to be really, really, really awesome, or, I mean, they've kind of been doing this a while, haven't they? Because the Wii U launched a while ago. And there's been all released for it.
God, I keep hitting the fucking mic, goddammit. Yeah, Wii U got launched, I think, in either September or November of last year.
Yeah, so let's get moving here with the selling stuff.
It's the exact same thing that happened with the fucking 3DS.
It just feels like they haven't made anything for it.
Right. Now, that's kind of the thing with Nintendo consoles. Like, you have to...
Or in general.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You gotta give, like, let them ripen. Like, you have to let the consoles age, like, 2 years, and then there will be good stuff.
That's true. I think that's especially true of Nintendo consoles, because they don't have the big third-party support that the other two do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But I just read something that said they were, reshuffling and strengthening their internal development. So maybe we'll see more internal Nintendo IPs.
Yeah, that would be nice. I would like to see more kind of new first-party stuff.
Yeah, that would be cool to see what they could come up with now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of Nintendo stuff, though, I think I might be getting a 3DS soon.
Ooh.
Yeah, Mika recently just got, like, this desk job at this moving place, which pays really well and gives her, like, a crap ton of hours.
Sweet.
So we actually have money now, and we really want Animal Crossing New Leaf.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we're going to buy, like, we're going all out. We're going to get fingers crossed, the Animal Crossing 3DS.
Nice.
XL. And get a copy of New Leaf.
Sweet.
So that is probably a thing I'll be talking about.
I also really want New Leaf and a 3DS, but I think I'm going to hold out for when Link to the Past 2 comes out.
Good call. Yeah, this is weird and exciting, because, like, I think literally the last time I have bought a console, I think was, like, a PlayStation 2, like, with my own money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
I think the only console I ever bought with my own money, no, that's not true, I just bought a GameCube, but that was, you know, 10 years later.
Yeah, yeah.
But before that was a DS.
Mm.
That was the first thing I saved up for.
It's a good choice.
Yeah, that was a good time. And, you know, all our DS games will still work, too.
Yeah, right.
Really happy about that.
Yeah. Like, on top of that, it's cool because now I have to, like do some, like, library, like, look through a couple of, like, game libraries and stuff just to see what is good for the 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm psyched that I will be able to acquire a Link to the Past now, or the Link to the Past 2. That's super awesome. I think there was one other game that I cannot...
Was there a Yoshi's Island game talked about at E3?
I think so. I unfortunately did not hear good things, but I guess that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be, like, a bad game.
Yeah.
Like, there was some
people really hear anything about it actually.
People said that the controls weren't that great and that like they didn't really dig the art style. The art style thing, I don't know. I can kind of see a little bit. It seems, I don't know. I kind of like it. It's kind of like really creative, but at the same time, it does look a little bit unpolished. I guess.
Well, it's early days.
Yeah, for sure. So like, there's a lot of alterations that they can make to that.
I really loved the Yoshi's Island series a lot.
Me too. Yeah, I actually just recently, Dave wanted me to, Dave was recently looking for, like, a physical copy of Yoshi's Island, because he is assembling a, like, Super Nintendo collection.
Oh, for the SNES, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I sold him my copy, because I think I've got a version on the DS already. I've got a version on the Game Boy Advance. Sorry, my mistake.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about getting that. Just because my SNES may be dying.
Mm. Oh, no. No. No dying SNES.
I know.
It's so sad.
It's like a child. It's like watching your child die.
That's not good.
Probably a little bit different. A
little bit different, probably. But if that's the only... You might be able to go to, like, what is that? There's one in Orland, there's one in Joliet. It's like a, it's not GameStop, but it's pretty much...
Oh, Disc Replay?
Yeah, they usually have Super Nintendos.
Yeah.
That I think they sell for maybe like $40 or $50.
Oh, that's great.
I think that's what they sell them at. I'm not sure.
A lot less for what I've seen it for at Half Price Books.
Mm. What's the pricing over there?
That was, I want to say like $80 or $120 for a SNES.
Wow.
I think. Sounds crazy, but...
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, but if... I mean, you seem like you've got a collection of games that are worth keeping, so I would maybe check out.
Totally.
Okay, so what's next? Let's see. I read a little bit about that Prism stuff.
Yeah, should we talk about that?
Do you want to say that for another time?
It's a little old.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think people know it. Just to recap... the government knows everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they're totally spying on us.
And they can hear this right now, actually.
Mm-hmm, specifically this. So, I've heard that this is the favorite White House podcast.
Totally.
Going around. Yeah. Obama's just listening to me like, yes, I know about games now.
Mm-hmm. Good for you, Obama.
Good job.
Also, bombs, napalm,
9/11, Benghazi.
Fertilizer.
Sarah Palin.
Missile silos. Sarah Palin.
Yeah, all right, good. I think that's
now,
good.
Now they know we're not a threat.
Yeah.
Everyone just got really bored.
Politics.
Mm-hmm.
So you were recapping.
Oh, yeah. So they're wiretapping and leaked by Edward Snowden, who fled to Hong Kong to avoid being arrested or killed by this all-knowing government. it's a good time here in the land of the free. And he was just granted asylum, I think. I think he was helped out by Julian Assange.
I literally know nothing about this. I've not been keeping up with the news. I feel like I'm cut off in a certain respect from the world.
I think that's all that's happened so far. I think he's still in Hong Kong because of their... safety.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Julian Assange, I think he was just granted a thing where he's not extradited and prosecuted. I don't know.
Hooray!
Yes. Leakers of the world.
So this Prism thing, that was... there was a post like from Google pretty much saying like, hey, we are not like just giving our information over to the government, essentially.
Right, yeah. Because what was leaked was a slideshow of the Prism program, and it's weird because like I haven't actually seen the slides myself, but some of them apparently like conflict with each other, and so the facts aren't exactly clear. But basically what they said is that they have backdoors into all of the major data collecting internet entities like Google and Facebook and Twitter and Yahoo, and Google put out a release saying no one has a backdoor into us, into your data. We only release what is, like, subpoenaed and what is requested, and that's all published on our transparency report, so you know what we're giving to the government.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not aware of this Prism program.
Cool. That's really nice. I like whenever Google convinces me that they are not bad people, because I don't want them to be bad people. Yeah. I don't want them to be bad guys.
I know. When you hear Larry Page and Sergey Brin talk, you just don't think that he'd be a part of that.
Hopefully not, yeah.
Larry Page has some kind of throat thing going on.
Like laryngitis?
I think... No, it's like kind of serious. I think one of his vocal cords is like... I don't know if it's paralyzed or...
What?
It's like not working right, so he's...
Oh, fuck.
He's speaking like really softly. He was just at... he actually made an onstage appearance at Google's I.O. conference back in May, I think. So that was cool. A lot of people, like, cheered when he came on stage because we all knew he had a problem.
That's awesome. Who is
he was, like,
in,
really
like,
soft-spoken.
Who's he in, like, the Google hierarchy?
He is the CEO, currently.
Okay, all right.
He was the co-founder with Sergey Brin.
Mm.
And Sergey is head of Google X, which is Google's crazy think about a million years in the future thing.
That's actually, like, Google's extreme, like, division.
Yeah, everybody just rides skateboards all day.
No, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, the office is a big, like, half pipe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sergey Brin skateboards into work with his Google Glass.
Oh, my God.
Oh, good times.
We can only dream.
Right.
Let's see. Oh, let's go ahead and dive in and talk, like, a little bit. I mean, people have already caught up on this stuff, but, like, let's talk about the Xbox stuff real quick.
Right, yeah. This is pretty important. So, Microsoft had two chances to do this. At their conference before E3, when they announced the Xbox, Xbox One, I keep forgetting what it's called because it's such a terrible name.
Xbox One, Xbone, Xbox 180, whatever you
want.
Let's
go with Xbone. So the Xbone.
Yeah.
Which is what the...
That seems
porn
to be...
version of the Microsoft conference.
God.
Releasing the X-Bone.
Yeah,
you're welcome, porn writers. I just did that for you.
Oh, I would be so happy if I found that. If that existed...
No, you know what? Because I just thought about Steve Ballmer, and now I don't want to see it. Oh, no, it's writing itself in my head. No, go away.
That can, you know what, with the Kinect 2, that can be taken in so many good directions.
No, we're done now.
Yeah, that'll...
No. So anyway, Xbox announced a bunch of stuff about how their console would work, and everybody hated it the first time they said it. And then they said it again at E3, that this is it, and we can't change it, and everybody still hated it. And then they put out this tiny little press release after even E3, saying... Yeah, we're gonna change all that stuff that you don't like.
Yeah, by the way, all the stuff that you didn't like, that's gone now.
It's like stupid.
Like, if you could just buy our console, that would be really great.
Did they not see the outcry from before E3 saying that no one wanted any of this?
Yeah, apparently not. I guess they were just in I don't know.
Because if they could have come to E3 saying, yeah, we're gonna reverse all of that because we love you and want you to buy our games, that would have been so huge for them, and it would have reduced the blow that Sony dealt to them and their console at E3.
I know, it would have been one of
Sony really came out the hero there.
They totally didn't. I think it would have been one of the more earth-shattering E3s if they did, like,
totally.
Go back on that, too.
Yeah, especially if Sony wasn't expecting them to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But no, they flubbed that chance as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted to talk about TV the first time.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder, you know what? I honestly wonder how big, like, Sony's press conference played in making that decision. Because you obviously saw that they had the consumer side on there. I wonder if they just, like, stressed on the games and didn't, like, pretty much attack Microsoft outright, if they would have changed anything.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. I mean, because it was still a lot about developers, too, with all the indies getting on stage.
Yeah, yeah, no, that was...
I mean, I don't think they would have had to change anything. They would still have my vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the way, I don't think Microsoft actually changed anything on their policies towards indies, either.
No.
Not that I've seen.
I recently pocketed an article about... It was saying, like, that the Xbox isn't so bad for indies, but I had to get into that, and I really...
Written by Anonymous Stein.
Yes. We're good friends. I had a thought about this, though, because... So what they talked about was, like, they're getting rid of the thing where used games don't exist anymore. And
yeah, right.
What else did they get rid of? There will be no more 24-hour check-ins online.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be one check-in online with a day one patch.
Yeah, as you're setting up.
Right. And then that's it. And they also got rid of their DRM thing, which was the thing that led EA to get rid of their online pass.
Mm-hmm.
So they got rid of that, but EA still isn't going to do the online pass. But in addition to that, they said no longer can we have this system where you can share games with up to 10 family members, and now all games will have to be played with the disc in the tray.
All right. So? Is that really that big of a deal?
Well, I mean, it's not really whether or not that's a big deal. It's like, why did that have to be taken away with that? I don't see what the two have to do with each other.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. I've never thought about that. It's like
what does DRM have to do with installing games to the hard drive?
Yeah, like they're taking their shitty ball and going home to or something. I don't know.
It's like they're just exchanging one DRM for another that we are used to, which is physical media.
Mm-hmm.
Because physical media in itself is DRM. Because I guess, you know, if they did go the fully digital route, you could just pirate something and load it into the hard drive digitally and not have to, you know...
Right.
...do that. But, I don't know, it still seems kind of shitty.
It's super strange. And I hear some people complaining, you know, like, believe it or fucking not, that, like, oh man, like, they took away all their... like, awesome, like, these cool features and stuff, like, all because of, like, everyone was bitching on the internet. And it's like, yeah, but, like, did the company really have to, like, take that away in addition to, like, taking away all the bad shit? Like,
I know, it makes you wonder if, like, this was just an excuse to say, well, if we take away all of this, this has got to go too, it's an internal thing, don't worry about it, when, in actuality, those were, like... impossibly promised dreams that couldn't have happened, and this was just a great way to say, we can't have that now.
That's a good point, because you know that they wouldn't have had that, like, out of the gate.
Totally.
It would have been a couple of months of, like, working around with software and, like, hardware stuff in order to make that happen. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know, consoles don't do that now. Like, the features that they promise, like, they come in a couple of months in advance on it, like, with a patch.
Right.
So... that's, you know, I did not think about that. That's a really good point. I wouldn't be surprised if there were, like, a few things here and there where that's exactly mm-hmm. what happened.
Yeah. Makes you wonder. This was the E3 of pretty big promises for both Sony and Microsoft, and it seems like Sony is going to be able to deliver on most of the big promises.
Well, yeah, fingers crossed.
I mean, as much as something said in an E3 conference can be trusted, which apparently isn't much now.
Yeah, I guess. It's... yeah, I mean, it really all depends. And like I've mentioned this before, too. Like, just because they mention it, like, on paper does not mean it will be a good idea down the line or that it will be implemented mm-hmm. particularly well. And, like, there's a lot of, like, tiny ways where they can fuck up something that they promise at E3, so...
yeah.
But, like, I really don't understand the people that are arguing, like, against the change here. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't, like, people are saying...
no, it's
like,
definitely a change for the better.
I fucking think so, too, and everyone else seems to think so as well.
I don't want to have that thing checking in every 24 hours.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous. But the thing they still haven't taken away is the Kinect always being on. People still really hate that. That's still going to be a thing.
Well, it is kind of creepy.
It's super creepy. The thing it sees, it always sees.
The eye.
I don't know. It seems... yes, exactly. It's a million little Eye of Saurons in people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's not like we're all thinking this creepy Orwellian future where they're using it to spy on us, because they've said they won't, and I really take the cynical approach where, like, why would they even want to fucking do that?
No, right. But, they're not going to be seeing anything. It's going to be a lot of people's living rooms for 90% of the time.
It's just that the point is, it seems stupid and pointless to make that the thing that is required for the console to work.
Mm-hmm.
To have this peripheral that can see you. I mean, it makes sense because you want to implement your future of gestures and voice commands, but some people don't give a shit, so...
Yeah, and that doesn't mean it always don't make it has required. To be like on. It's like it's I don't strange. Know. I think it's funny that even though Microsoft has like repealed all of their shitty policies, that we're still like, mm-hmm. yeah, but there's still a lot of shitty stuff that you're doing that we don't like.
Yeah. Because there was a lot of shit in this console.
Yeah, that's just full
They've of only cleaned out like half of it.
We're cleaning out the shit, guys.
And then, it's really weird that it's like never really off.
Oh, yeah. That it's like on a standby kind of thing. Or it's so weird. They say, yeah. Yep, super weird. And the one thing that gets me, too, that there are all of these people that are arguing that it's like, oh, because like some people aren't ready for digital. It's like, and like, have you yeah, seen any of that either?
Screw you.
How fucking yeah. ludicrous is that?
It's like the guy they fired, what was his name? Adam Orth.
Mm-hmm.
Who was like, then I suggest moving to a place that has internet.
Yeah, it's like, I suggest, like, that's your problem. Fuck you.
What's with Microsoft and being like, if you don't like it, well, then you suck and shut up.
Yeah, yeah. That.
Like, they can't take criticism anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it has to get to a very extreme point before they'll do anything, apparently.
I guess. Messed up.
But one thing in the article that I linked, though, by Jim Sterling, he was saying that, like, I think the biggest reason, let me try and summarize this correctly, too. The big thing between, like, how they're trying to do digital and how, like, PC is trying to do digital is that, like, PCs are a much more, like, trusted format for this thing. There are mm-hmm. a lot of things that can be done digitally with PCs that just work smoother than with like these consoles. Like patches can be implemented and stuff much easier than that, and mm-hmm. any concerns with the hardware can be addressed, and there's like years and years of trust built behind this machine. And like, as we all know, like digital buying is just like, it's easy on PC and it's good mm-hmm. and it works and it's awesome. But what Microsoft is trying to do is jump from, you know, doing the disc thing to right to what PC is doing and right to what Steam is doing, and a lot of people aren't comfortable or ready with that. So I'm like, I don't know, on top of that, like, Microsoft would probably be still charging $60 for digital games,
right,
which you can't do in a market where you can get things discounted on Steam all the time, or mobile games that you can get for like pennies.
Totally, yeah, people aren't ready to lay down big money for digital games.
Yeah, I don't think consoles are there yet to the point where we're okay with that happening.
No, absolutely not. And I have this feeling with like any other digital game service, like whether it be on mobile or even not with games, with apps, it's the PC is just like, it's been around for so long, and it was created in a time when everything had to be open, and now everything, every new digital marketplace that comes out is closed and proprietary.
Right.
And it's like, if you want to get something for the PC, there are so many places that you can get it, and so many different kinds of that thing that you can get. I don't know. Does that make sense?
I think so. Yeah.
It goes back to the whole, like, Notch Minecraft argument.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, being on a PC, I can listen to my music in iTunes. I can listen to my music in Windows Media Player. I can upload it to Google Music and listen to it that way.
Or you could do it through, like, VLC. Yeah, the choices are,
exactly,
like, endless.
Because I have the files.
Mm-hmm.
But if I want to, I was just thinking about this because the WWDC was a few weeks ago, which is Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, and they released iOS 7. And I was like, that's really beautiful, and it made me think about buying an iPhone as my first smartphone. Mm. And then I realized I can't do that, because I'm already locked into Android's ecosystem, and I wouldn't have any of my music or any of my other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never really thought about the smartphone thing, but I totally get where you're coming from on that. Like, Android just seems much more open than, like, mm-hmm. Apple stuff. And you know what? I fucking hate iTunes. Like, iTunes is terrible.
It's the worst.
And
I haven't used it in years.
And, like, it's simplified and stuff, and that's good, but I don't want more than... Or I don't want more of that. I don't want other programs mm-hmm. that do that same thing, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a ways away from considering smartphone choices.
Oh, yeah. No, I recently looked up data plans and decided I was a few years away from that too.
Yeah, right. Like the first for mine will probably be like required for work or something.
Yeah, probably.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're about at an hour. Is anything else that you want to talk about real quick, or do you want to wrap it up?
I was going to talk about Quantum Break, but I don't really care anymore. Did you want to touch on Steam sharing?
That's a pretty quick thing though. Like there was a recent Steam update, like someone found something in the code that could allude to, like, you know, Valve potentially initiating a sort of game sharing system within, you know, Steam,
mm-hmm.
which I am so interested in how they would do that and make it like a, make it well. I'm sure it's something that we're not going to see for a while, because Valve thinks through just like so, like every fucking possibility. Like, they are really good at thinking about stuff and considering all of the options and making sure that when they release something, it is good and solid and like ready to go.
Yeah, they're really good at making people wait years, decades for things that just won't come out.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, me neither. Just saying things. You know me.
Team Fortress 3, of course.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Maybe Half-Life Blue Shift 2?
Get out.
Okay. That would be really interesting. And I haven't the slightest idea as to how they would implement it. But if anyone was going to implement it, I would trust them in doing it.
Definitely. From what I read, one thing I saw said that, like, you would be able to play games that your friends owned while they're not playing them.
Oh, okay.
So it's like how it works in the real world.
Yeah.
You own a game, you're not playing it anymore, I'm playing it. So it's kind of the same thing, except that it can happen, like, instantly.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, hey, I want that game back, and you already have it.
And I'm sure they'll implement something where it's like, oh, well, like, I would be okay with my friends playing, like, this game, and you just, like check off in, like, in boxes.
I would imagine that, yeah, you'd be totally in control of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like, I wanted to play this game, but my friend got to it first, so never mind.
Yeah, right. And that's, you know, that's a really basic way to look at it, too, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of exactly how you would do in the real world, and that sounds good to me.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, well, I have got one last quick surprise segment that we'll do. I don't know if we'll do this every week. I think we might, like, maybe every other sort of thing. Or maybe we won't do it frequently at all. I don't know. But this is what I would like to call, like, Mike's dramatic reading of the week. And I sent you a link in Skype, and it's of the back of a video game. And I would like you to read this in your most dramatic voice possible.
Most dramatic voice?
Yeah.
Okay.
The top bit, and actually, no, just the text to the right, I think.
Just the text to the right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is for, should I say what it's for?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it looks like it's Katamari Damacy.
It's the sequel, We Love Katamari.
Okay.
All right, go right ahead.
Here we go. This is Mike's dramatic reading. Week one. The king of all cosmos grew to stardom after replacing the stars with the prince's Katamaris. In response to this newfound fame, the king is out to appease his fans with the help of the prince and his cousins. Now they are tasked with rolling up even more clumps, each larger and more different than the one before.
Very good. Excellent.
Katamari.
I, you know what, that, out of all of the games I think I bought, that, besides, like, that one in Metal Gear Solid 3, they come with, like, the thickest fucking manuals.
Really?
It seems
pretty simple.
It is really simple, and I actually have to check this. I'm not sure if the manuals, like, are actually really thick, but I remember them being hefty for some reason. I think they just, like, have a lot of illustrations in there.
Oh, okay.
Because
I don't think it needs a lot of explanation.
No, yeah, as long as you understand, like, where the analog sticks are, you could probably figure it out.
Roll a ball into stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, you're done.
These games are so good. I should replay that one.
I've never played any of those. They look like fun, though.
They are very fun. Very, very cool. Okay, but I think that will be it for us this week.
Okay. That was dramatic.
Yes. That was very dramatic. We'll see what other good ones that we can come up with later. Hey, Mike, you put up videos on the internet. Where can we find your stuff?
I do. You can find my stuff over at youtube.com/vlogginegan, as well as the documentary that I made about our friend Dave, who does duct tape stuff, called Duct Tape Dave, aptly, at youtube.com/eganworks.
Which is getting a respectable amount of views, too, I saw.
Yeah.
Pretty impressed.
It's doing okay. I just put it on the r/documentaries Reddit.
Oh, cool.
Because I just found out that existed.
All right. Good stuff.
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter at Zach Bruin. You can also follow me on Vine. I just made one about people in a kitchen eating a bubblegum flavored bag pickle. That was good. So check that out. Yeah. Are you checking that right now?
No, I already saw it.
Okay, good.
I just didn't know what the hell that was.
Yeah, that's what that was. It was not good.
It's a pickle flavored like bubblegum.
Yep.
Is it like actually a pickle?
Yes.
That's really weird.
It was gross as shit.
From the expression on Mika's face, it looked like that was the case.
Like, the initial bite wasn't bad. It's like, there's a little bit of pickle, there's a little bit of sweet, so it was like a sweet, salty kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think the real flavor of it hit you, and it was not manageable.
Mm.
So don't buy that flavor of bag pickle, guys.
Wow. There you go.
And we can follow you on...
I'm on Twitter.
At
Eganworks. That's about it.
All right.
Blog stuff, podcast stuff. The blog itself is firstpersonblogsim.wordpress.com. You can check out the podcast on iTunes. Just search for First Person Podcast Simulator, I think.
Yeah, First-Person Podcast Simulator, because iTunes search is garbage.
Yep, just another reason to hate iTunes.
Yep.
And you can follow it on all sorts of social media, on Twitter at FPBSim, on Tumblr at fpbsim.tumblr.com, and on Facebook, facebook.com/fpbsim.
And let us know your favorite flavor of bag pickle at fpbsim@gmail.com.
Yes.
Email us your favorite flavor.
Has anyone ever emailed us?
No. Not at all. So I feel like that's right. Just like my nice little punchline at the end of the podcast now.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's our thing.
We get updates from the blog, and that's about it.
Yep.
Okay, good stuff. Right. And we will see you next week, guys.
Indeed.
Bye.
Games.